We have a lot of feedback mechanisms implemented into our platform where we host documentation. Users, for example, can upvote or downvote a certain topic. They can add additional comments, or we even have suggested edits. This is a tool that makes it available for customers to enter an editor mode. They can edit the whole content they can see in a single view and then submit their proposals. So we get notified about this. We can see in dashboard what they've suggested, and we can decide whether we want to merge it right away or we can further refine their suggestions. So it's a very powerful tool, and we get quite a lot of feedback.
Welcome to the Knowledge Base Ninjas podcast, where Gauri Ramkumar of Document 360 finds the best SaaS self-service knowledge bases in the world and then interviews their creators. Let's get started with today's episode.
Hi, good day everyone. Welcome to Knowledge Base Ninjas podcast. Our guest today is Iga Koproska, Senior Technical Writer at Akamai Technologies. Welcome, Iga, to the Knowledge Base Ninjas podcast. How are you doing today?
Well, hello. Thanks for having me. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Great. So, Iga, before we jump into further questions, I would like to take some time and ask you to explain or brief a little bit more about yourself and how did you get into this professional journey?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. So it all started when I was still a student. I'm a qualified translator, and I joined a technical writing class during my final years at the university. The class was organized by a local office of Motorola Solutions. I guess they wanted to educate potential future employees. So during this class, I could learn basics of data, how user documentation should be structured, etc. And that's when I thought that this is the way I'd like to work with language, use it as a tool to clarify things. And also, I still think technical writing has a lot in common with translation, because you actually translate jargon and very complex technical concepts into user-friendly and user-oriented language that guides them through a process and eventually helps them achieve a certain goal. So yeah, my first two jobs in technical writing weren't quite what I expected after the course, because I hardly ever wrote user documentation. I was more like a secretary to the development team. I took care of the meeting minutes, decks, blog posts, marketing blurbs. And in my second job, I even ended up co-writing project requirements and all the designs that are internal. So I hated it at that time, but when I look back at it now, I think it was a very valuable experience because I could learn a lot of useful stuff about project releases, development cycle. And right now I use a lot of internal documentation to draft user guides. So at the end of the day, I think it helped me to get where I am now. So after a short time at these two jobs, I decided to join Motorola Solutions because I knew what to expect there. And I spent 3 years there, working primarily on documentation that was consumed by our internal field engineers.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got my hands-on experience with data, XML editors such as Oxygen. I got familiar with the release management, Scrum methodologies. I certified as a professional Scrum Master.
Great.
And yeah, we had a really massive documentation team there. It was a great environment, very supportive environment. We could share our experiences, discuss problems, learn from each other. We could collaborate on projects together with other technical writers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, over time, I got more interested in Doxus code, and I wanted to get involved in API projects. So I left for Akamai, where I've been since 2020. And the setup here is a bit different because every writer has a project or projects assigned to them, and we create whole content for the project end to end. So we deliver traditional user guides. We work with UX designers to write copies for the graphical user interfaces. We write API documentation based on swaggers. So yeah, very diverse type of content. And since developer experience has been a primary focus over the last years, I also got a chance to create CLI documentation and documentation for Terraform providers. And I think the biggest benefit at Akamai is that my documentation is publicly available, so I can reach out to customers and see if I have a great understanding of what they need.
Great. So it's an amazing journey you had, Ika. So starting from the translation part to where you are now with API documentations is amazing to hear. And all this can only lead me to my other question is, I'm sure you must be doing a lot of research activities before creating your documentations, right? So what role does research play, do you think, in creating effective documentation?
Yeah, I think the majority of my time at work is focused around some kind of research. I think writers only spend relatively short time writing something, and writing is a result of an extensive research we need to conduct to even know what users need from us. I would say, but of course, it depends on the content that you're obliged to deliver. But whatever you're working on, I think there is one common starting point, and it's the product research, right? So you would need to browse through project scopes, design documents, this variety of technical documentation that's created by architects and managers. For everyone involved in the project, just to give an idea what the solution is about, how users can benefit from it, and how it integrates with the code or features that are already in place. So yeah, you need to sift through loads of information that's not relevant from the customer's point of view. And you need to fish for bits and pieces that would help you draft your user-oriented guides, and leave out all the backend and internal information, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a very daunting process, I think. And despite all the experience that you might have, it's always scary when you land on a project, you know nothing about anything, don't know where to start. But I think it's inevitable to just learn what are the customer needs. If there is a graphical user interface, I would say probably you would want to at least to get access to the UX designs and wireframes that can visualize the process and steps. Ideally, you would want to collaborate, not only access these wireframes, but collaborate with UX designers to provide copies and all the information in context, because it will reduce your needs to create massive and extensive documentation. If you're writing API documentation, then you would need to get familiar with the designs, see what resources get exchanged. I always try to visualize certain endpoints or operations in a bigger picture to better understand the workflow and how users will automate the process, because this is how APIs are consumed, right? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I think in general, you need to identify the purpose of a feature and start building your narrative around this. But yeah, we can draw a line between research that's essential to our daily tasks. And also, there are certain research activities that can go beyond our regular role. I think there are lots of areas that technical writers can tackle For example, focus on user experience, user centricity, user friendliness. Just to give you a few examples, you can research voice and tone of your documentation, right? There are lots of useful resources online that dive deep into that aspect. You can research how you can integrate DOCSIS code into the DevOps process and benefit from all the automation developers might have implemented for their tools, right? So I think nowadays technical writing is a very multidisciplinary profession, and there are plenty of topics that it can explore, right?
Great, absolutely. As you rightly said, the role that technical writers play doesn't come at the end. It is throughout the journey of your project is what is becoming more and more evident now.
Yeah. As long as you have a supportive environment, I think the sky is the limit. And yeah, you can research whatever you want and then translate it into more accurate user documentation.
Absolutely, Ika. You did mention that your documentation with the current organization is public and you do connect with customers to get their feedback. So would it be possible to elaborate a bit more on the process? Like how often do you connect with your customers to collect the feedback and how do you incorporate that feedback in the tone that you would like to keep so that it's not too disturbing with the other contents?
Sure. We have a lot of feedback mechanisms implemented into our platform where we host documentation. Users, for example, can upvote or downvote a certain topic. They can add additional comments, or we even have suggested edits. This is a tool that makes it available for customers to enter an editor mode. They can edit the whole content they can see in a single view and then submit their proposals. So we get notified about this. We can see in dashboard what they've suggested, and we can decide whether we want to merge it right away or we can further refine their suggestions. So it's a very powerful tool, and we get quite a lot of feedback through these channels. Sometimes it's very specific, right away what you need to address. But sometimes, users just let us know that they are not happy with the content or something is missing. They didn't find information they were looking for. So it's on us to decide what's the gap. And I can admit it's sometimes a wild guess, but I have excellent project managers and developers that I can always reach out to and discuss what are the potential gaps. So yeah, monitoring feedback, through these channels is like part of my regular work, and it mostly concerns documentation, right? But I think as technical writers, we need to better understand our audience and see their interactions with the product in their entirety. Mm-hmm. So yeah, an example from my own experience, I just thought that maybe it would be a great idea to browse through customer community and forums that we have at Akamai, where they can ask some questions or submit their problems, and there are specialized teams that solve their issues. So I browsed through these cases, and most of these cases were very specific to configurations that customers had in place. They weren't reproducible, but yeah, after some time I could see a pattern. I identified some recurring cases that basically just helped me draft brand new troubleshooting section for my product documentation. It was a very refreshing thing to do because I could have a look at our customers through a different lens, better understand their problems, any hurdles and obstacles they face. And I also reached out to customer service and help services with additional questions. So I work with them very occasionally. So yeah, that was me stepping out from my comfort zone, maybe going out from the context bubble. And it was, yeah, again, very refreshing. So I would say, as technical writers, sometimes it's nice to find unconventional ways to collect feedback and see how users interact with our product. Maybe you can reach out to your project manager and see what tools they use to monitor these customer interactions. You can use these tools to your own advantage. So, again, an example, maybe they use Splunk to collect data on errors that customers face, and you can browse through these data and see if there is anything that you can help with in documentation. For example, Splunk says that your customers trigger a lot of errors when it comes to rate limits with their API. So you should investigate. Maybe rate limits aren't explained in much detail, or maybe they're not explained at all in your documentation. So you can provide that content and go back to Splunk after some time to see if these errors are still that high. Other software that I use, Pendo, Metrico, anything basically that can drive you closer to your end user's point of view, like community. Again, we have our repositories open on GitHub, and customers log issues there. You can browse through these issues and any potential feedback mechanisms that your organization might have in place may be useful.
Great, great. So it looks like you have this as part of your regular process to enhance your documentation. And just going back to the varied roles you have performed up until now, we can also see that more and more technical writers are getting into testing as well, because as we briefly or elaborately spoke about how important this profile to get involved right from the beginning of the project. So, in your opinion, what could be the reason for technical writers doing more testing role as well as part of their documentation profile?
So as you mentioned, I have my own experience testing. For example, I tested my APIs, and even though every change needs to be verified before it gets released, I just thought that maybe it wouldn't hurt if I put tester's hat myself and give it a go. So I think testing is becoming more of a necessity rather than a trend, because more and more writers create content for developers. And just as you would go into the UI and click around before you create any content, you should do the same with your APIs or any other programmatic interface like CLIs and stuff like this. So yeah, I think you can learn a lot from testing, for example, APIs. You can see how the product behaves in reality. You can learn more about use cases and test the accuracy of your own documentation again against the actual API responses. You can ask the QA team if they validate requests against the schemas that you use to generate documentation from. If that's not the case, you can run the process yourself and then push the team to have this included in the main verification path, right? So I think developers only realize the true potential of documentation that's generated from their code, and they start to realize that this is an integrated part of the delivery process. So the times when documentation was just an afterthought after the whole development process is complete are gone. And you can prove your point by testing and, reaching out to them with bugs, for example, right? Or any inconsistencies. So yeah, just to give you an idea how this process looks like, I just fork my API collection. I I reached out to my colleague from DocOps team to create some automated tests for me in Postman, so I can quickly verify if the request and response are in line with the schemas, the Swagger schemas I work with. And yeah, I usually find a few missing items, like missing enum values, or I can discover that a field that I thought is required is actually optional. So lots of minor stuff that collectively helps you improve the accuracy of your documentation. And I think, yeah, in that case, every, even the smallest improvement is always a win for customers.
Great, absolutely spot on, Aika. So let's move on to our rapid fire round now.
Sure.
I'm sure you read a lot of contents on the web, and you might be attending some events as well. So can you share something that you have recently read or attended to with regard to documentation that has really given you additional knowledge? Any resources that you can recommend?
I think integration of DocOps with DevOps pipeline has been something that I'm interested in lately. So I've read articles about it on I'd rather be writing, write docs. And yeah, I think what I can recommend is just if you're interested in a topic, you can see if there is a conference talk that you can, for example, pay to have access to the recording.
Great, great. And when I say documentation, what is that one word that comes to your mind?
Maybe balance, because you need to strike balance between oversimplification and explaining very complex things and concepts to advanced users. So we need to find a middle ground between this.
Nice. My last question to you is, what is that one piece of documentation related advice you would give to your 20-year-old self?
I think I wish I learned how to code early on. That's you don't need to be a professional. You can only have an intermediate kind of skills in coding, but definitely that helps if you want to be a writer that deals with developer documentation.
Great. So as we spoke in the beginning of this podcast, there's been a lot of information exchanged from your side, and it's going to be a very great value to our audiences. So once again, thank you for your time and all the very best for your future projects. And I'm sure you're going to be exploring more and more as things come along your way. All the very best, Aika.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Knowledge Base Ninjas podcast. Please head to iTunes, rate, and provide honest feedback on the podcast. See you next week.